Vamos lá. Vyasanam her distress. Samovachata submitted. Mother Earth assumed the form of a cow, very much distressed. With tears in her eyes, she appeared before Lord Brahma and told him about her misfortune. For those devotees who are just hearing in, so to say, for the we are discussing the advent of Lord Krishna, and we are at the place where Mother Earth goes to Lord Brahma to explain how she is very much aggrieved, being overburdened by hundreds of thousands of military phalanxes. Translation for the next verse goes: thereafter, having heard of the distress of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma, with Mother Earth, Lord Shiva and all the other demigods approached the shore of the ocean of milk. Purport. After Lord Brahma understood the precarious condition of the earth, he first visited the demigods headed by Lord Indra, who are in charge of the various affairs of this universe, and Lord Shiva, who is responsible for annihilation. Both maintenance and annihilation go on perpetually under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chadushkritam. Those who are obedient to the laws of God are protected by different servants and demigods. Read this again. Those who are obedient to the laws of God are protected by different servants and demigods, whereas those who are undesirable are vanquished by Lord Shiva. Lord Brahma first met all the demigods, including Lord Shiva. Then, along with Mother Earth, they went to the shore of the ocean of milk, where Lord Vishnu lies on a white island, Shweta Dweep. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nittinamine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Shatarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadha Hasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here we hear of a quite interesting subject matter. The demigods, under the guidance of Lord Brahma, decide that no, we cannot really solve the problem which is existing on our own. We must go to the Supreme Lord and ask him for help. This acknowledgement of one's weak position is the first step of surrender. Someone who is falsely proud of his own abilities is left alone in the desert of his false ego. But someone who desires to surrender to the Lord and go to Him is certainly always accepted by the Lord, just like a father will always accept his waylaid son. The first point. One can be as successful as he wants, but if he defies, that means goes against, the laws of God, he is not at all protected, but everything he does will become a failure. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes how people who do not understand this principle in life can never become successful. Just a little while ago, I talked with Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj about a point in my life where I began to understand this principle a little bit. We were preaching and we had a great need of money. We needed about a sum of 500 marks to go on. So we visited this student home in Witzenhausen where we had a lecture on Krishna consciousness and ecology, and this was about 10 years ago, and we wanted to meet this one person. I still remember his name. At that time he was not there, so we had heard that his neighbor was antagonistic to the principles of Krishna consciousness, but I just needed Frank so desperately that I went into the student home of his neighbor. I thought maybe, you know, maybe there are some telephone numbers and I can phone some telephone numbers and find out where Frank is, because we needed him to be at this program. There was no one was in the apartment, so I remember I took up the drawer and, you know, hab die Schublade aufgezogen from his neighbor's table and found, and there were 500 marks inside. So I remember that in the beginning of Krishna consciousness we did not have a high regard for moral principles. Our leader just had such a nature. He was a rebel before he joined Krishna consciousness, and he brought some of his rebel philosophy into us, and following what I had heard, I thought, well, this is Krishna's arrangement. He is a kami, a non-devotee and a demon most properly. These are 500 marks for the preaching. There's no doubt in my mind. And I took that amount and bent down. And while I sat already in the car, and I had such a bad feeling somehow from the area of the location of the super soul, something came, and I said to my preaching partner, Ashok, what do you think about this? I'm in a philosophical dilemma here. And he gave a very nice advice. He said, well, maybe there's something wrong in the preaching which we have heard so far. We are brahmanas. We are honest. We cannot steal this money. And I said, I have the same feeling, and put the Lakshmi there, and just put it in the drawer, and we continued onwards I still remember the name of that person. Johannes was his name. And Johannes was a poor man, and we preached, we chanted, we had no experience. And in the end he said, I thought to support the preaching program a little bit, which you were doing, and he gave us an envelope, and I thought maybe 21 marks or so, like always. Thank you very much. He said, later, I put the envelope somewhere, and then later opened it, and there were exactly 1,000 marks inside. And I thought, well, maybe we did the right thing. Krishna has rewarded us. So this is an important point for the devotees in Krishna consciousness maybe to consider or to reflect. Those who are obedient to the laws of God are protected by different servants and demigods, where those who are undesirable are vanquished by Lord Shiva. Help will be there as long as we follow the instructions of the Lord and we remain on that, so to say, road or street. Sometimes we may struggle, but it is not, we will win the struggle. I remember once there is a friend of Lord Krishna whose name I don't want to tell you because he will be embarrassed. Who wanted to become the life member, and he gave us the assurance he will become the life member. So he put the Lakshmi just behind his deities on the altar, and called us and said the Lakshmi is ready. You know, at that time it was 1,111 Deutschmarks, and he just put it there. So we were coming, and while we were on the street, on the road, I mean, coming to him, a fire broke loose just behind his altar, and all the Lakshmi was burnt. So we came, and with great distress, he opened the apartment, and he said, there was a fire on the altar. I said, oh, really? Yes, and the life membership donation burned. I said, so now what will you do now? He looked at me. And he understood the point. He said, I have become the life member. If the whole world burns, I don't care. And he went to the bank and took the amount out of the... He had to overdraw, überziehen, his account. But he felt he had given a promise to Krishna and the Vaishnavas, and he had to keep this no matter what. He was a little surprised when I asked this question, so now what are you going to do? Because he didn't... He thought I would just say, oh, what a pity, the Lakshmi burned away. So he got the point, and by now this particular friend of Lord Krishna is extremely rich. He is a very wealthy, and so on and so forth. So this just are two little examples telling actually the same things. We should keep to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no matter what. There is an interesting verse, and this is a beginning of surrender, by the way. There is an interesting verse which is very telling in this regard. Bhayam dvitiniya bhiniveshatahasyat ishat apetasya viparyayo smriti Tanmayayato buddhavayetvam bhaktyaikayesham guru devatatma. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as a material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord, This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency for illusion called Maya. Let us just read the translation up till here. We will continue in a minute. But already this, what we have heard now, is a little difficult to understand. The point which is risen here is that once you turn away from Krishna and you get, so to say, the wrong perspective by identifying yourself not as an eternal servant of Krishna, but as a material byproduct, that is a body, then you are in a kingdom of illusion, the magic theater. Those of you who have read Hesse will know what this means. The magic theater of Maya will all of a sudden be all around you, and you only have wrong perceptions. I want to tell you a little illustration from this, which took place in the 50s in Seattle. That's an American town. Where is it? In which area of the world? Seattle.
Seattle.
Yes.
Washington
D.C.
North.
Yes.
It's almost near on the border of Canada.
Good. Our scientist knows even these subjects. So near Canada, Seattle. In the 50s, a great thing spread, almost like an epidemic. All kinds of people began to report at their police offices that the window screen, Windschutzscheibe, of their cars had scratches. And some of the people thought it was maybe a monster which went in the evening and scratched the windscreens. And more such reports came. It became so hilarious that Eisenhower, the then president, was informed and had to send an investigation team to Seattle. What was going on? Now, what I've told you, the theory with a window screen scratching monster was more the theory of the sensationalists, but there were other theories how this came about. One was that due to the experiments in the space, there were strong acid rains created and they bit into the glass. There was another theory. Now, a third theory was that due to the government's new street planning and new street made, some gravel, also diese kleine Steinchen with acid, Säure, was moved up and came onto the window screen. There was a third theory. Now, maybe you are interested, because it is something else than the ordinary philosophy, and you're on alert what it was. It was none of the three. It was only that in the because the media took this case up, there's a monster, or there is the acid rain from this, or there is the asphalt theory, therefore everyone in Seattle began to look at their own cars with a certain angle they had never taken before. You know, usually you look out of a car when you are looking through your window screen, you look from inside to outside, but this time they looked from outside to inside with their magnifying glasses to find out if the monster had also come by their own car. And then they saw what you never see. That is the natural scratches on every window screen, which are just there because there's so many things coming on the window screen. Every window screen has scratches like this. But because it took a certain angle, therefore the town Seattle became wild with speculation. Do you follow? Is this clear? Is das, das Beispiel? Ist klar. Good. Now, we don't want to, you know, talk about mundane things in Bhagavatam classes. We just wanted to use this example as an example for Viparyaya Smriti. It means, it's a Sanskrit term which Prabhupada translates Vipayaya, reversal of position, asmriti, he says, conception of his relationship with the Supreme Lord. You know, asmita, the word asmita, the word asmita appears in Patanjali, and is the word he uses for false ego. So, Vipayaya, twisted, umgedreht, verkehrt, verknackst, verkorkst. That's the vision which the conditioned soul takes on, which when he is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this condition of life, he begins to see things in a totally wrong way. He is in the magic theater of Maya, where he has no access to the actual reality in life, but is totally bewildered and full of strach, full of fear. This is a result of the misidentification. So you might now, after having heard the example, you might ask yourself, what does this mean in our own reality, in our own lives? How is our intelligence wrong, and how does it see the wrong things? Well, obviously, the Grundkonzept, the basic concept is that you forget that you, this was stated in the verse, by the way, you forget that you are actually pure soul, spirit soul, and a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but you make all kinds of other facts, so to say. Now, there are two kinds of perceptions which the conditioned soul has, where he makes his, where he develops his own realities. There is what we call the dream reality, and there is the wakeful reality. And I wanted to give you a little story about this, from this time from the Ramayana, which will make this clear. But I want to tell the story extremely short, so you will have to have your attention with us, otherwise it's very hard to get the point. Once there was a king called Janaka. We all know him, he's one of the Mahajans, and he called all the musicians in his kingdom together to hear a concert. Now in the concert he fell asleep, and his queen, being very concerned about her husband, sent all the musicians out to call them back when the king was awake again. So the musicians waited before the hall, and all of a sudden heard a terrible scream, like this, but much louder, and ran into the place and saw a totally bewildered king with disheveled hair and looking crazily around. Janaka had one question. And he asked this to the musician, is this reality or that? The musicians didn't know the answer. finally Vishwamitra came, and Vishwamitra said, what happened to you? Just first explain this, then I will explain you the answer to the question. Oh, said Janaka, I was in the throne saal, in the hall, when all of a sudden I saw the enemy's army coming into the kingdom, killing all my soldiers and slaughtering before my very eyes my queen and her sons. I had to flee and ran into a forest where I ran around for 4 days without food. I was so hungry when I saw a Lovatz, hunter, he had just eaten from his plate, and there was a few remnants left. So all I did is the hunter went to a waterfall to wash the plate clean, but I said, stop, I'm so hungry, give me what is left on your plate. The hunter looked at me and handed the plate over to me, when all of a sudden a crow came, and before my very eyes took the plate and flew away. In great frustration I screamed, and then I saw the empty hall and all the musicians coming in as if I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. My question is this reality? And he thought of what he was seeing. You know, the people and everything around him. Or that. And he thought of the dream. Now this is quite an interesting question. I want to, in my lectures, I always tell a little Chinese poem at this point, and you will also hear it. It goes like this. It's a question which is dealt with in the philosophies of the world. Amongst one of them is Taoism. Wung Li dreamt he was a butterfly. Or maybe Wung Li is a butterfly who dreams he is Wung Li. That's the end of the poem. So the Bhagavatam gives a very, very interesting insight into this perplexing question, which we will hear. It says, Adrishtam drishtavan nangshet bhutang svapnavat anyata bhutam bhavat bhavishyachcha suptam sarva rahoraha. Everything happening within time, which consists of past, present, and future, is merely a dream. That is a secret understanding in all Vedic literature. And Prabhupada purports this, factually, all of material existence is only a dream. Thus, there is no question of past, present, or future. The actual reality is Krishna and service to Krishna, which can save us from the clutches of Maya. So we are now almost coming to the end. Sorry, we have a little time less. There are two perceptions in this world. One is when we are awake. That's what we see now. Such perceptions generally take place when one identifies with the bodily concept of life, with a gross body. And there is another perception, which is in the svapna stage, that is when one is asleep and when one identifies with what is going on the subtle platform. Janaka's question was like this. He was looking into the world through his eyes, type of reality. However, both realities are only passing realities. Srila Valadev Vidyabhushana in his Vedanta Sutra distinguishes a dream from the so-called reality by saying that when we wake up from a dream, we are always Peter Pühler. No, I'm sorry. Oder Heinz Müller. I just saw you. I looked for names. We are always. But when Peter Pühler goes to bed and sleeps, he is sometimes a very light bird flying easily in the sky. Sometimes he is dancing jubilantly in a ball dance. And another time, he is maybe, he sees yet another thing before his eyes. So the dream is not at all constant. It always breaks. We never wake up in the same dream, but the material reality remains the same. We always wake up to that what we are doing. For instance, Madhavendra Puri wouldn't be able to write his book Die Wissenschaft entdeckt die Seele if he wouldn't always wake up and, you know, be that Madhavendra Puri who just continues with his research work, isn't it? That would be terrible. So in this way there is a difference between the dream, and the difference is continuity. Continuität in Deutsch. However, also the so-called physical reality really cannot beanspruchen, claim that it is a continuous thing. It is a flash for the eternal soul. You won't always be Peter Hermann or Heinz Müller. When you leave this world, oh brother, listen. When you close your eyes for the last time, this is now Prabodhananda Saraswati, where will your fame be? Where will your loving wife and children be? Oh brother, why do you become so attached to this? Therefore, I mean, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur is very drastic. Run to Vrindavan. This is a verse which will come in the multivision. It's obviously not that we should run to Vrindavan. We should run to its service. That's Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the atmosphere Prabhupada describes where everyone serves the Lord. So, coming to a close. It can be said that the perceptions in the Jagrata stage of consciousness, that is the awake state of consciousness, are also dreams. Therefore, the secret understanding of all Vedic literature is that everything happening within time, which consists of past, present and future, is merely a dream. There is only the difference of the Schlaftraum and Wachtraum, the sleep dream and wakeful dream. That's the only distinguishing factor. So a devotee who has understood this, he has a very interesting, he will develop Krishna consciousness, of course. And in the fourth canto is a very interesting definition of Krishna consciousness, what it means. And once we understand this, we become very peaceful and happy in our life. Narada Muni says, Sadvaika nishte manasi Bhagavat parshva vartini tamashchandra masivedam upadach ya vabhasate. Krishna consciousness means constantly associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such a mental state that the devotee can observe the cosmic manifestation exactly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead does. In other words, in Krishna consciousness, we see things Krishna's way, not our way. Not the way, let us say, the way of the conditioned soul. We see things according to the eyes of the Shastra. That means Krishna's way. We see the reality according to the instructions of our spiritual master. That's a very important point for those who work on the field of science. On the field, when you once you enter scientific investigations, there are many theories which are established either with good arguments or with not so good arguments, but always with arguments. And sometimes when we hear these arguments and we listen to them, it's very difficult to counter them. And then we hear our Krishna conscious viewpoints, which are very difficult to prove sometimes. You know, that we are eternal souls and we wander from body to body. How will you, I mean, this is very, you really have to work hard. You can ask our Madhavendra Puri Prabhuji. He's working, straining his brain and finding good answers. But this is how we must be as devotees. We must find out what does Krishna say? How does Krishna see this? Because all the other conditioned souls are just in either in the wakeful dream or in the sleeping dream, because that's their perceptions. So Hare Krishna, there are many more things to be said about this, and I don't want to take any more time. It's a very interesting subject matter. If you want to read more about these subjects, please do read the whole chapter 29 in the fourth canto, where Narada Muni preaches to Maharaj Prachinabahi. You will find that your life changes in by hearing these very interesting subjects. Do you have any question regarding this?
Yes, I have a question. I find this point quite interesting. One sense of the world is a dream, but another sense is Krishna's Mama Maya, Krishna's energy. So how can it be illusion? In one sense it's real, but if you take the stick to be a snake, then that's
Where the illusion comes up is the misidentification of the eternal soul with the with the material body, and the role which we play. Therefore, a devotee, while living in this world, has to follow three instructions. One is to understand that this world is temporary and every situation in it. Second is, whilst he is in this world, he must elevate himself with his activities and with his mind. Very important, let us not forget the mind, and not degrade himself. And the third instruction is, he must have proper association, because in good company one can elevate his thought. There's three instructions. Another three which we want to give, these are all Bhagavad instructions, is in order to live in the spiritual reality, this is taken from a purport, a devotee has to understand three things. Krishna is his best friend. He's just passing through. And to realize all this, one has to serve the Lord, starting with the mind and the body. These are another three instructions. So yes, this world is Mama, is certainly Krishna's energy, Krishna's separated energy. which is called the Maya Shakti, we can easily forget that we are the servants of the Lord, and then we find ourselves in illusion. However, if we follow the path of Krishna consciousness by being in this world, we can understand this energy to be Krishna's energy, no longer separated. There is a very nice verse which I want to recommend you to read. It's in the fourth chapter, verse 22 of the Gita. Brahmapanam Brahmahavir Brahma Gno. It's a verse where Prabhupada explains in the Prabhupada, material world means Brahman energy plus forgetfulness of Krishna, and the material world is made of out of that energy. But you can live in the spiritual world even while by being in this energy, by reconnecting it. That means remembering Krishna and putting everything in Krishna's service. This is then the whole magic theater. Stops there sometimes. I don't know, the deutschen Helden, some stories. Helden sagen, remember, I think we read them, and the hero is full of illusion, and you know, and then all of a sudden, plum, it goes. The theme is there in Dhruva Maharaj. You know, he sees all the snakes coming, and the laughters of the demons, and the elephants, and the rain of arrows. But then he remembers Krishna, and all the illusion disappears. Vaidyanath Prabhu, I can reassure you, I'm not saying the same thing. You may be afraid that here is a sannyasi preaching against the Grihastha ashram, but this is not the case. It is not the case. We have changed in the years. We have to give some attention to the material world. That's certainly important. But in Krishna consciousness. Krishna. So we will end here our little discussion. I'm sorry it took more time than we wanted. But it's a subject we are just preparing for our next public lecture. And we have to make a few test trials, so to say. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.